WGCU News. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Bitcoin is a global cryptocurrency and digital payment system. It's considered the world's first decentralized digital currency because the system works without a central repository or single administrator. It operates as a peer-to-peer system with transactions happening directly between users, with all transactions being recorded in a public distributed ledger called a blockchain. And while it's not entirely clear who exactly invented it, hundreds of thousands of merchants and vendors around the world accept Bitcoin as payment. So what on earth does all of that mean? Later this hour, we'll talk with a Bitcoin investor to try to demystify this cutting-edge digital currency. But first, there are some world-renowned cancer research facilities in the state of Florida, like the Moffitt Center and the Mayo Clinic. But until now, Southwest Florida has gone without when it comes to cancer research. Just shy of a year ago, though, FGCU birthed its own cancer research program. To give you an idea of where it began, let's take a listen to an excerpt from our first Curious Gulf Coast story, reported by our producer, Rachel Iacovone. Okay, we'll come back to that a little bit later in the show. But joining me now, we have Nicole Mamperdew, digital biology and a dual biology and psychology major. I don't think digital biology is a thing. And the president of the Florida Gulf Coast University Cancer Research Program. Thanks for being with us, Nicole.
Thank you so much for having us. It is an honor to be here.
Also with us is the club's vice president, Zyla Horgan, a fellow biology major. Thanks for coming in, Zyla.
Thank you so much, John.
And we do have that piece from WGCU's Rachel Iacovone. So let's go ahead and hear that excerpt now and get a little more of an idea of what this is all about.
Like it was my birthday.
And how old did you turn?
4.
I'm Rachel Iacovone. I'm in a lab at Florida Gulf Coast University talking to a 4-year-old about every photo in her mom's camera roll. Her mom, Alana Underwood, asked Curious Gulf Coast,
is there some factor in this area that's causing more cases of pediatric cancer than other parts of the nation?
Most cancer research revolves around finding a cure, but on the campus of Underwood's alma mater, there is a new registered student organization, the FGCU Cancer Research Program, which is doing preventative research into what causes cancer in the first place. Underwood is balancing her daughter on her hip as we crowd into the small lab space the group shares with a genetic study of fruit flies. One of the tiny flies escapes its test tube and buzzes past student researcher, senior biology major, Sarah Lobauer's ear. She swats it away with a sigh.
We work on more of the molecular basis of cancer as to what causes certain types of cancer and stuff like that. All this is 33% acetic acid.
Lobauer uses an eyedropper to carefully add a drop of the acid to each cell plate on the tray she prepped 2 days earlier. When she's done, she places the tray on a machine that rocks slowly back and forth to gently break the cells off their slides.
What we're going to do is we're going to look and see, after we lyse the cells, break them apart and get everything out of them, how much difference there is.
The group's advisor, Professor Lindsay Rhodes, says the program formed, in large part, to fill a need in the area.
Even though we have great cancer research in the state of Florida, at the Moffitt Center, at the Mayo Clinic, but other larger universities, Southwest Florida really doesn't have a large cancer research hub.
And we're talking about FGCU's new cancer research program. Listeners can join the conversation. Phone lines are open at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. And on Twitter, we're at WGCU. Use the hashtag GCL. And the Florida Gulf Coast University Cancer Research Program hasn't really reached its first birthday yet, but so much has changed since our own WGCU's Rachel Iacovone spoke with Sarah Lobauer and Dr. Rhodes. Nicole, start with at the beginning for us. Can you tell us how this program got started?
Well, one of our students from FGCU realized that we didn't really have an organization to unite the cancer research here. And so he approached Dr. Lindsay Rhodes, who is our faculty advisor for the organization, and approached her with the idea of creating a student organization where students work together to unite the cancer research here at Florida Gulf Coast University. And ever since then, it has been a sprint to grow this skyscraper that we really are growing.
So to be clear, this research was already going on, but it wasn't connected. There was no
Correct.
Hub.
Okay. Correct. So we've had established cancer research here at FGCU ever since Dr. Rhodes came to our university.
All right. And Zyla, when Rachel came by the lab space here on campus, you were very limited in space and supplies. Can you describe what it's like working in that space?
Yes. So sometimes it can be difficult just because we do share the lab space with many other research students and many different projects. But we have been granted a new space over at the Emerging Technologies Institute, which has been really great with the volume of different projects. We have about 4 different just cancer projects going on under Dr. Rhodes' leadership. So with that comes about 10 undergraduate research students trying to work in one lab space. So having more lab space also available to us over at the ETI has just been great and just been able to allow us to do more in the lab.
So I assume that means you're probably no longer, you know, sharing that lab space with, say, the fruit fly study.
We're making that transition over, so we're really grateful to have that.
All right. All right. Any other, research interests that you're sharing space with that's maybe a little out there?
We are actually doing some interesting things with zebrafish that have been incorporated into the cancer part. So getting into more wet biology and everything. So it's been really great.
Interesting. I want to come back to that. But Nicole, you've secured space, as we just mentioned, in the Emergent Technologies Institute, and you're in the process of transitioning over there. How did the university come around and agree to give space to this program?
That is a great question that I wish I had the answer to, but I don't. It's just something that I believe was in talks with Dr. Rhodes and the previous students who started the organization. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't part of that decision, but I'm very proud to be able to be the one who's making the full transition over.
And the Emergent Technologies Institute is technically off campus, correct?
Correct. Mm-hmm. On Alico Road.
Okay. So mm-hmm. students don't have to travel too far.
No.
Okay. Gotcha. Career or cancer research, it's expensive stuff. The program's now received endorsements from the College of Arts and Sciences, and what I believe is the largest college at FGCU.
Okay.
Has that endorsement brought any more funding your way?
It has. It's brought a lot more notoriety to our organization and certainly made us a more well-known entity at FGCU. And with that, we have a lot of more trustworthiness in our organization. So donors who want to donate to our organization, they can do so through the FGCU Foundation. And that way they know that they're providing a secure donation to an entity that actually exists.
Okay. And what about all those sponsors listed on your website? No offense, but how did a bunch of scientists market themselves that well to get so much support from the community in so little time?
It took a lot of groundwork from myself and Zyla. So we had an event last semester that was called Advocacy After Hours, and that was sort of our introductory event to the community to explain who we are as an organization. And with that, we held an auction to gain some donations for our organization and for our lab at the ETI. And Zyla and I drafted a donation letter, and we went from business to business asking for donations for either basket items or raffle items. And that's how we got to form so many different types of community relationships. And in addition to that, over the summer, we also drafted another donation letter, which we sent out to local laboratories and research organizations in our area, asking if they have spare supplies that they can give us or even monetary donations.
And, you know, we've talked about the research and concept, and cancer research can be a bit broad. So, Nicole, what exactly are you working on now?
My project is on triple-negative breast cancer cells. So that is a particular type of breast cancer. And we are working with what are called stilbene compounds. And these are essentially cancer drug treatments that we apply to our cells. And we are testing to see if they inhibit the movement of our cancer cells, which would indicate that they are preventing our cells from migrating, which is related to cancer metastasis.
Interesting. And Zyla, but what about you? How did you first join the team?
I joined doing research with Dr. Rhodes about a year ago. So I approached her after taking her cell biology course, and I was accepted into her lab to begin working on my project. So I've been with her for about a year screening these stilbene compounds that we were speaking about on these triple negative breast cancer cells and looking for anti-cancerous activities. I joined the organization in February, as Nicole said, just knowing Sarah and Talia and some of the founding members getting really involved and just wanting to kind of unite in this organization that is also trying to get all the research together and putting those efforts into one place, but is also taking that research beyond the lab and into the community and just creating that hub in Southwest Florida.
Right, right. And Zyla, are most of the programs, you know, the research being conducted through this center, is it primarily group studies or are there solo projects as well?
Primarily, they are small groups. So my project is a little different. We're using the same compounds that Nicole is doing, but we are testing specifically for inhibition of these cancer cells. So anything that looks like a potential that somebody could potentially take in the future and it would specifically target the death of these cancer cells, which is with my partner, Hannah Tatum. So we've been working together for a year. Nicole's project has four members. Most of the other projects have around, I would say, 2 to 4. They're fairly small, but also within them because cancer can get really specific. There are a lot of different jobs to do. So they can get large very fast.
Interesting, interesting. And, you know, earlier we mentioned the long list of sponsors, which includes both the Horgan and Mampurjue families. So I'm going to go ahead and assume then that both your families are pretty supportive of your involvement in the program.
Very much so, yes. I love talking to my parents about the research that I get to do in the lab every day, and they love hearing about it as well. They're so curious, and I really appreciate it.
Do they have a science background as well?
Or? No, they don't. They do not.
What do you think launched you in that direction?
That's a good question. Probably just curiosity. Once you start getting into science and seeing how there's so many different realms of science, you sort of find your niche and you dive into that and you start to see how broad that niche can be itself, actually. But once you sort of find your specific interest, you kind of just dive in and it's a sprint from there.
What about you, Zyla? If you looked back maybe 5 years, would you have imagined you'd be doing this now?
I would definitely not imagine myself being here. My parents do not come from scientific backgrounds either, nor is much of my family. So it's definitely something different. But just coming to FGCU, my first semester here in Biology 1, my professor talked a lot about cancer. And I didn't realize, I guess, in high school how much I really enjoyed science and I really enjoyed learning about that. That just kind of opened the door, what Nicole was saying. You kind of find your niche and you find what's interesting to you, and that's what interests me. And so I just started to dive in and found research. So,
all right. And how does this research conducted by students compare to those, you know, big names we talked about earlier, like, you know, the Moffitt Center or Mayo Clinic? I mean, it seems like when you're talking about something as complex as cancer, there's enough niches for everybody.
There is. I think one of the main differences that we see between an organization like ours and a larger cancer research organization is definitely funding. Mm-hmm. Earlier, we had talked about the fact that Sarah, who has now graduated, she was working on more of a preventative project with cancer that has thus shifted now to researching more treatments for cancer, and that's because her project can no longer be funded.
Right.
FGCU has faced very severe budget cuts. I believe it was $8 million last year, and that's trickled down to the students most definitely. Students are required to take a year of research if they are a biology or chemistry major, and we just don't have the money to fund even those classes that do research. So that's been a big issue. But in terms of the caliber of research, we are doing very complex projects, and we're very proud of the work that we do, and we are able to publish our work. We're able to take our work to conferences. So it's the same tier of research, just at a much smaller scale.
And I know, aside from the challenge of funding, you know, one of the problems that the club you know, potentially faced was that all the founding members were seniors.
Correct.
And you know, since they've, you know, ostensibly graduated, you know, has there been a concern about, you know, just a few underclassmen kind of keeping things going and keeping the work of the same caliber, or has that turned out to not have been that big of a concern?
It has not been an issue at all. Zyla and I were very involved when we were first started in the organization, and we had very large roles within the organization, and that definitely helped with the transition into me taking over as president and Zyla taking over as vice president. So we had plenty of leadership experience beforehand.
We're talking about FGCU's new cancer research program. Listeners can join the conversation. Connect with our guests by calling 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. You can also reach us on Twitter. Use the hashtag GCL. We're at WGCU Public Media. And Nicole, you're a dual major, biology and psychology. The latter isn't often associated with cancer research, but do you personally see any applications for psychology in this field?
Oh, very much so. I've taken a class called Health Psychology where I learned about sort of what it's like to be a patient who is sick, and that's really opened up the perspective from the patient's side mm-hmm. when they are diagnosed with cancer, for example. And as a future doctor, it's very important for me to be able to see that side because in that way I'm able to communicate with my patients much more. I can show more empathy towards what they're going through, and I feel like that has a large impact on the patients when they know their doctor understands and they're very conscious of their emotions as well.
Interesting. You know, I remember going through a simulation training for dealing with, you know, older adults with dementia, mm-hmm. and I had worked in a hospital previously, and I immediately after going through that scenario and really being put in their shoes, I could see everything I'd ever done wrong in dealing with a patient who had dementia. So I know what you're talking about there. Zyla, you're a biology major, kind of what people must expect of students in this program. But when Rachel was reporting back in the spring semester, there was an engineering student in the lab, and he was showing Dr. Rhodes a piece of equipment he'd built when the program couldn't quite afford to buy everything new at the time. Was he an outlier? Or are there students of other majors interested in being involved in this program that, you know, perhaps majors you wouldn't conventionally connect with cancer research?
So he was definitely not an outlier.
Oh,
okay. We have several members from multiple different colleges and majors' backgrounds within our organization, which I think also helps us be diverse and not get so caught up in research is extremely important and it's how we get things done. But if you're not able to communicate that research to the public or get that community backing, you will be limited to what happens, right? So having health science majors or any kind of engineering, any kind of – everybody brings like their own talents and their own backgrounds into the organization, helping with our educational outreach projects, people that are education majors or communications, helping us do presentations like that, people who are helping event planning. Nicole and I didn't think we would be going into event planning, being biology majors. But there are other members in their organizations who have had lots of experience in that also, who have been a great contributors to the organization. So it's just really increased just our community involvement, I believe.
So these, you know, potentially non-conventional majors who were part of it, how do they connect with you? How did they find you?
Probably social media and just word of mouth. Students talking about our organization on campus, seeing our flyers. We really try to advertise ourselves, and we really try to get as many students to our meetings as we can. We do meet every other Monday, and at those meetings, we provide different opportunities for students, whether it's professional development, having guest speakers come in. Our last meeting of the semester is going to be next Monday, and we're going to be hosting a doctor that Zyla knows, actually. So, great opportunities for our students.
Zyla, tell us about that.
So we'll actually be having a retired physician. His name is Dr. Campione. He practiced in Buffalo, New York for his entire career. He is an ENT, but he has done several residencies in plastic surgery, in reconstruction, in ENT, and I believe ENT surgery also. So he could follow his patients. And he actually worked when he first started surgical removals of brain, head, neck tumors, and things like that. He started at the pediatric level so that he could follow his patients with the removal of the tumor, reconstruction, dealing with their ENT needs and everything. So he just has lots of wisdom. He sat on many admissions boards, and we're just really excited to just get his story and see what he has to share with us.
Yeah, that is really interesting. I didn't realize until relatively recently how you know, a cancer diagnosis in childhood can continue to impact a person's life throughout their life. So that's a pretty interesting area of study. What about when it comes to the College of Human Services? Is there much crossover with the program, or is that something you'd like to maybe increase in the future?
That's definitely something we'd like to develop. We would really like to get our name out to the different colleges here at FGCU and, like Zyla was talking about, incorporate them into our organization because they have so many things to offer. In terms of event planning, for example, we'll be holding a gala in the spring to help fundraise. And if we could have people from the hospitality college come help us, we would absolutely love that to put on a world-class event for our donors.
You guys listening? And you know, in professional cancer research facilities, is there any crossover with different disciplines, do you think? And what are the benefits?
Very much so. There's a lot of crossover, for example, with chemistry. I know Zyla can speak to this, but a professor from the chemistry department, Dr. Daniel Paul, has been synthesizing our stillbean compounds, and I'll go ahead and let her talk about that.
Zyla?
Yeah, so that's been a really interesting collaboration that we've been able to work on as of late, and me especially having hands-on parts in it this semester. Dr. Paul is an organic chemist here at FGCU, and he's actually been able to synthesize many new analogs for us, which are these stillbean compounds, or natural compounds found in plants. An analog would just be something that is going to be the same basic chemical structure. It just has different functional groups. So those do a little bit different things within the cells. So we've been able to take our data to him, show him which compounds seem to be working, and he's been able to analyze those and create new analogs that he thinks are going to be able to target the cells better. So we're currently getting those from him, running them, seeing what the results look like. So.
Excellent, excellent. And you know, how much does the new integrated studies major work with this program? Since you know, you have many non-biology majors that are in the program, they come from, you know, interdisciplinary studies, major capstone courses.
I myself am not too familiar with the interdisciplinary study, but I'd love to learn more about it and get those students involved as much as we can.
All right. All right. Well, we're talking with some student researchers here at Florida Gulf Coast University with the new Cancer Research Program. Listeners can join the conversation by calling us. Phone lines are open at 877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. And before the cancer research program, Dr. Rhodes had mentioned more than two dozen research students, but that in these small peer groups, and typically it counted towards a credit towards graduation for them. Now with this program, is she still managing to lead, you know, this much larger research effort? And can students still receive course credit for their research?
Yes, very much so. So students can either receive credit as an independent research credit that they work with a professor at FGCU, mm-hmm. or they can also receive senior research credit, which, like I mentioned before, every biology and chemistry student at FGCU has to undergo a year of research. So they're able to receive credit through that as well.
Excellent. And back in the spring, Dr. Rhodes had mentioned that some of your executive board members at the time were headed to the 2017 National Conference on Undergraduate Research. What did they end up presenting? Silent?
So that was Sarah, Talia, and Brandon, who had all been working with Dr. Rhodes a year prior. So they had really been able to dive into their research, which was more of the preventative side of cancer, especially breast cancer. Their project was called the Hot Air, which is an abbreviation for a certain pathway within cells. They were looking at non-coding RNA and how that affects the progression and or migration of cancer. So this is a complex that is the hot air complex. It's normal in all of the other cells, but cancer cells have certain malfunctions in it. What they were looking at is how much that is affecting the progression of cancer or even the onset of cancer, and ways to knock those out in patients.
All right. And, you know, what about you guys going forward? Are you planning on attending this conference, you know, in the spring of 2018 or another one like it?
Yeah. So we are definitely looking into our options and everything. Because of budget cuts, our funding is a little bit limited. So we would definitely be writing for more grants next semester to be able to travel. But we definitely some students will be going to the Florida Undergraduate Research Conference, which will be held right here in Florida. Next semester, and we're also looking into a couple other ones. So as many as we can go to, definitely.
Excellent. And you know, besides presenting the work, when the research is done, is it published?
Yes. So we're currently working on a publication right now, working on a manuscript of Hannah and I's research. So what we've been doing with the triple negative breast cancer cells over the last year. So we're putting all that data together, starting to write the manuscript, which we hope to submit by the end of the year. But yes, so definitely.
And when this – oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say not only do we publish the research, but we also like to present it out to the community. So we've developed an entire education project where we go into high schools and as well as different community centers and present not only what the cancer research program does, but the cancer research that's being conducted at FGCU, and also just teach the audience members about the biological basis of cancer.
And when you get stuff like this, you know, in a professional peer-reviewed journal, it doesn't make any difference that you guys are students. This is professional research.
Correct. Yes, it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Dr. Rhodes had said Southwest Florida was lacking a cancer research hub back when the program had first started. Now what do you think? Is this the hub Dr. Rhodes imagined or that you imagined?
I really hope so. And I think we still have a lot of room to grow. But I think as we start to get more and more recognized within the community, we'll definitely start to become that hub. While we do have excellent cancer treatment facilities here in Southwest Florida, it's our job as students to really establish that research basis here in Southwest Florida.
And on the topic of that research, I wanted to go back to something Zyla had mentioned earlier about the cancer study with the zebrafish.
Yes. So I'm not personally on this project, but there are several seniors right now using zebrafish embryos to test these still being compounds that we were talking about, mm-hmm. And seeing how they affect individuals at the embryonic level. So this could lead to basically the implications of if these compounds are shown to inhibit the cells, if they went through clinical trials or what have you, to be an actual medication for individuals. If you were pregnant, if this would affect you, what levels that's going to affect women who are taking these. So just didn't see at a different level what these compounds are doing on cells that are not cancerous.
So interesting to see the scope of research and the crossover. And Zyla, what about you? What are your plans for post-graduation?
So I am pre-med. I'll be graduating next December, and I am getting ready to apply for the next cycle to go to medical school. So I'm very excited. I plan to become a pediatric oncologist, so following this cancer path.
Was pediatric oncology something you were looking to get into before this program even?
Yes. So since my freshman year here, I just became very interested in cancer. I have had family background and experience with cancer, but that had never really resonated with me until I started to learn about like the biological aspects and realized that this was really something that I wanted to dedicate my time and efforts to,
right.
To making other people's lives better who had been affected by it.
Yeah. I mean, pediatric oncology, you know, and then in the clinical setting, that's some pretty heavy stuff.
Yes, definitely. I know it will be very, very challenging at times, but definitely rewarding. The thing is for me that it's something that I'm very passionate about, but I wake up every day and I have hope for it because I know I am actively doing something to try to make the field better.
Right. And what about you, Nicole? Plans for after graduation?
Yes. I'm in the process of applying to medical school right now. I've sent out all of my applications, so I'm waiting to hear back now. Cross your fingers for me.
All right.
But I plan on going to medical school somewhere here in Florida because I do want to practice locally. There's really a need for doctors here in Southwest Florida, especially primary care and orthopedics. My particular interest is in orthopedics, which is bones.
Mm-hmm.
So I look forward to doing some hip replacements in the future.
All right. I know, or I don't know if this is still the case, but I know in years past, specifically when it comes to orthopedics, pediatric care is something that had kind of been lacking in our area too.
Very much so. I believe there is one institute that does pediatric care and orthopedics here in Southwest Florida. I have looked into that. That is on my radar. We'll see if pediatrics is the path I lead down.
All right. And finally, I wanted to ask you both to, you know, look ahead for us. What can Southwest Florida expect from this program, say, in the next year or maybe in the next 5 years?
In the next year, you can definitely expect us to be holding more educational seminars for the community to help develop a toolkit for our community to understand what cancer is and hopefully demystify it and really make cancer seem less scary. It's a very somber topic, but like I've said many times to Zyla, we do our work in the lab to really reduce that emotional impact of cancer, hopefully one day. In addition to our seminars to educate our community, we'll be holding, again, more fundraising events. But as we continue to grow and as we're able to accommodate more students in our lab, we really hope that our organization becomes an entity that draws students to FGCU. Many people do not know that FGCU actually does cancer research.
Mm-hmm.
So once you hear that, oh, this amazing university is also doing cancer research, that's really a point to draw you into the university and create more interest. So we really hope to inspire some future students and future scientists.
All right. Well, we'll have to leave it there for now. But thanks so much to our guest. We've been speaking with Florida Gulf Coast University Cancer's Research Program President Nicole Mamperju and Vice President Zyla Horgan. Thank you both so much for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
We're taking a short break, but when we return, we're digging into Bitcoin. The digital currency has gone from esoteric to fairly mainstream over the past 8 years. Bitcoin is now accepted by hundreds of thousands of merchants and vendors around the world, and that's despite the fact that it's not entirely clear exactly who invented it. We'll take a stab at demystifying Bitcoin coming up after the break. This is Gulf Coast Live on WGCU NPR for Southwest Florida.